I don't have a mask on anymore. It's been over 5 times 24 hours since I arrived, so we thought it might be good now. So today we'll continue with the equanimity practice. And I'll share a bit more about equanimity. Hopefully a bit on, extra on what Sally shared, and then we'll do the practice. So, as you know, equanimity is this this state of being where we're in balance with the ever-changing conditions in our own lives and in the world. And the Buddha has this beautiful phrase or beautiful text about it, and it goes like this. Gain and loss, disrepute and fame, blame and praise, pleasure and pain. These conditions that people meet are impermanent, transient, and subject to change. A wise and mindful person knows them and sees that they are subject to change. Desirable conditions don't excite his mind, nor is he repelled by undesirable conditions. So that's kind of what equanimity is about. Not being excited by the desirable conditions, nor repelled by the undesirable conditions. How often have we been longing on this retreat for desirable conditions, and pushing away the undesirable one, being repelled by the undesirable ones. So when equanimity is present, we are not swayed by those worldly winds, as they are called. And the pleasure and the pain, and the gain and the loss, and the disrepute and the fame, and the blame and praise. And it's a state of freedom. We're not that attached anymore. And it might sound bland and disconnected, but it's not like that. Equanimity is rich and warm and connected and peaceful. Gil Fronsdal, the meditation teacher, he compares compassion and equanimity. And he says that compassion is like the love of a mother, while equanimity is like the love of a grandmother. So when we feel equanimity, there's a bit more distance. Like when you're a mother or a parent, and you're closely watching your child, you know, you're ready to intervene in any, you know, instance. But a grandmother has seen it all and can let the grandchild kind of just run around and do its thing, right? So when we are equanimous, we can be a little bit more like that grandmother or the grandparent and give our experience or the world a bit more space. And at the same time, our hearts are still resonant with the suffering in the world and in our own hearts and in other people. But we know that our sphere of influence is actually pretty limited. And, you know, that's something that we accept with equanimity when we are in this grandparent state. So we realize that suffering, other people's suffering and the suffering in the world, and also the happiness, is within our circle of concern, but outside of our sphere of influence. So Sally mentioned that the traditional phrase is, you are the heir and owner of your karma. Your happiness or unhappiness depends on your karma and not on my good wishes for you. So equanimity allows us to see that we have no power over the choices, actions, or intentions of others. And even if they're unwholesome and we are feeling really annoyed by it, the truth is that it's outside of the sphere of our influence. And our sphere of influence might not be as big as we might wish. So, despite this, we're all you know, regularly wound up about something that we don't have any influence over. For example, if someone next to us is breathing loudly, we might get all worked up about that. Or just simply that it's windy and not like warm and nice out. And one time when I was doing a retreat in the fall and all the leaves was in at IMS in Massachusetts and all the leaves were turning these beautiful colors. But then the next phase was that those leaves were falling. And I felt like they shouldn't be falling because it's so beautiful. So I got worked up about something I didn't have any influence over. So if we do find that equanimity is present, then we can be more at peace with those things changing. And there's a natural letting go of wanting to control those things. A natural way of being that doesn't need anything to be different than it is. Like an okayness with the leaves falling, an okayness with seasons changing. So equanimity is about not resisting, not pushing away, but also not pulling, not trying to make things different. But of course, there are situations that we can make different, that we can change, that we might need to act on. And in those situations, we do act. And we do see if it's needed or appropriate or wished for to act, to change things. So it's not that we become completely inactive, letting just everything just happen. It's more about letting go of the things we cannot control. It's like that equanimity or serenity prayer that James read this morning. Or not read, but memorized from memory. And it, just to repeat it, it's may I have the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So equanimity can actually be a real support for the other Brahma Viharas. And often we think, you know, we're progressing with metta and then compassion, etc. And then we get to equanimity. But once we get to equanimity, we actually can start using it also backwards towards the other Brahma Viharas. For example, if we send metta to someone, then once we also have this basis of equanimity, we can see that this other person's happiness is not depending on our wishes. So we can be more non-attached to the outcome of our metta practice, the outcome for that person. But what is more important, of course, is always the outcome for ourselves. Like, how is this practice of any of the Brahma Viharas affecting our heart? And with regard to compassion, equanimity can really help us to not sink into any misery. It really helps us to stay balanced in the face of suffering. And it also helps us to stay balanced in the face of happiness, not to get too excited or elated. And it's important to remember that equanimity is not something we can force. We can't force it to arise. We can only put in place the conditions for it to arise. So when we do the practice and we don't feel equanimous, then it's really okay. We can just know that by doing this practice, we're actually putting in place the conditions for equanimity to arise at some point in the future. It's like planting a seed, and we don't know when these seeds will flourish, right? When they will flower. So it's really about being patient with our own practice. What I sometimes find helpful when I do equanimity practice is to look at the Buddha statue, like how calm and equanimous he's sitting there, not really swayed by any of those worldly winds. He's just sitting there touching the earth. And what can also be a really helpful metaphor is the natural world. And the trees and the grass and the streams are, you know, not upset. They just are. And of course, the natural world's not sentient, but it's still a good metaphor, I think. You know, a tree is not going to go get upset when it's windy or when it's rainy or when the sun shines, for that matter. But a tree just is. So just like this tree, may I be okay with whatever arises. And so when we do the practice, it's good to keep an eye out for any feelings or emotions that are not the Brahma-Vihara that we're cultivating, and in this case, equanimity. For example, feelings of indifference or craving or aversion. Because if those kind of things arise, any kind of reactivity, it's all part of this purification process that the Brahma-Viharas are. And that practice will bring up in our hearts what is not in line with it yet. So that whatever comes up can be purified and can be let go of. It's not something we do, that's just something that happens. So when things come up, there are several things we can do, and maybe other teachers have mentioned that. But if something comes up along those lines, some kind of reactivity, some kind of emotion, and it's not so strong, it's pretty mild, then we can choose to just continue with our practice and not change anything. But if it's stronger, mildly strong or strong, then we have the choice to either switch to a being that is easier. For example, if you were working on a difficult person, then we'll switch to a benefactor or another easy being. And we can also switch to our normal Vipassana practice for a while and just observe and investigate whatever is going on in that moment until we feel like we can go back to the Brahma-Vihara practice. So the Buddha, he has a pleasant abiding, who has equanimity and is mindful. So let's practice with that in mind. Maybe we'll have a pleasant abiding this afternoon. And Sally offered this alternative practice yesterday, the cultivating equanimity for a situation. So today I'd like to offer the more traditional practice so that you can get a taste of that as well. And traditionally, the neutral person is the easiest person for equanimity practice. So we'll start with that. And then we'll proceed through some other categories depending on the timing, how much time we have left. So yeah, relax and settle into your meditation. And you can start with just being aware of the body. Feeling the sitting posture or the there's someone laying down, the laying down posture. And then we can connect to the heart area, the center of the chest. And tune into what it's like right now in that area. Maybe there's some softness or openness or warmth present. Or maybe it's closed or you don't feel much. And either way is okay. It's just about just checking in. So what is it like in the heart right now? And often when we start equanimity practice, can be really useful to start with a few phrases of metta to get our heart warmed up, so to speak. So let's picture a being that is super easy for you, the most easy being that you can imagine. And then if you have that being in your attention, you can offer the phrases, the wishes. May you be happy. And may you be healthy. May you live with ease in this world. Let's see if there's a phrase, a metta phrase, a compassion or a mudita phrase that you feel like when you want to share with this being, want to offer to this being, something that fits this being in this moment. And we can let the metta practice go to the background and bring a neutral person, a neutral being to mind. Someone you don't really know that well, you don't have strong feelings for either in a positive or a negative direction. And then we'll start with the long sentence just to get a taste of it. We'll only do it once, the neutral being. So with your attention on the neutral being, from your heart you can use this phrase. You're the heir and owner of your karma or actions. Your happiness or suffering depends on your karma. Not on my good wishes for you. You are the heir and owner of your karma. Your happiness or suffering depends on your karma, and not on my good wishes for you. If this sentence works for you, you are welcome to use it more often in this practice. I'll now offer an alternative phrase. I wish you happiness, and I can't make your choices for you. care for you, but I can't control your happiness and unhappiness. All beings have their own journey according to their karma. Can let the neutral person fade to the background. Bring to mind a benefactor. Maybe you have a benefactor that you've been working with on this retreat. You can bring them to mind. I wish you happiness, but I can't make your choices for you. I care for you, but I can't control your happiness and unhappiness. And if you feel some care, some equanimity in your heart, then you can also let that kind of ooze out of your heart area and hold the words lightly, just a light touch, while the care and the equanimity is radiating out from you towards the being, the benefactor. I care for you, but I can't control your happiness and unhappiness. All beings have their own journey according to their karma. You have your own journey according to your karma. All beings meet their joys and sorrows according to a lawful nature. You meet your joys and sorrows according to a lawful nature. You can also look at if there's a different phrase coming up for you that you'd like to offer to the benefactor. Or maybe you want to revisit one of the phrases so far. we can let the benefactor say to the background. Bring to mind a good friend. Dear friend. I invite you to just practice one or more of the phrases, one or more that are resonant for you with a good friend. I'll repeat some of them to refresh your memory. I wish you happiness, and I can't make your choices for you. I care for you, but I can't control your happiness and unhappiness. All beings have their own journey according to their karma. All beings meet their joys and sorrows according to a lawful nature. You can practice with one of those or a different phrase. For those who are up for it, you can move to a difficult being. You can also stay with a neutral person, benefactor, or good friend if you wish. For those who want to, you can bring to mind a difficult being. can practice one or more of the sentences again. I'll name them. I wish you happiness, and I can't make your choices for you. I care for you, but I can't control your happiness and unhappiness. All beings have their own journey according to their karma. All beings meet their joys and sorrows according to a lawful nature. You can choose one of those, or one or more of those, or choose your own phrases. And practice with a difficult being, or an easier being if you prefer. We can let the difficult person or easier being that you've been working with fade to the background. We can now bring ourselves in our intention. If that feels right to you, you can still continue with an easier being too. And we can kind of remodel the sentences that we've been using, phrases. We can use some of the other ones. May I accept the conditions of my life with ease? No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. Things are unfolding according to a lawful nature. May I accept this moment just as it is? Then we can let ourselves fade to the background and get a sense of all beings everywhere, in all directions. I wish all beings happiness, and I can't make their choices for them. I care for all beings, but I can't control their happiness and unhappiness. All beings have their own journey according to their karma. All beings meet their joys and sorrows according to a lawful nature. For the last little bit of this meditation, we can return to an easy being. So if there's any unsettledness from the more difficult beings, we can get settled and a bit more easeful again if needed. So you can choose a neutral person, benefactor or good friend, whatever is easiest for you. And choose one of the phrases or more than one. Maybe there are other phrases that you know that resonate better for you. And offer those to the more easy being. In the last minute or so, we can reflect on that we've been planting these seeds for an even and balanced mind. And that for some of us, those seeds might flower right away. For some of us, it might take a while. But either way, we've planted the seeds. Maybe we can even feel a little bit of gratitude, appreciation for our effort. and thank ourselves for the work we've been doing in this session and on this retreat. Thank you all. May you have a wonderful rest of the afternoon and evening.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.